The Phoenix Theatre and Arts Company's audio drama series presents Susan Glaspell's Trifles, adapted and directed by Phil Pinot and Gina Stanton. For past episodes, upcoming events, and other information, make sure to visit our website at phoenixtheaterartsco.com. That's theater with an R-E. Without further ado, we give you Trifles.
In the gloomy kitchen of the now abandoned farmhouse, a kitchen that was filled with unwashed pans, loaves of bread outside of the bread box, a dirty dish towel on the table, and other signs of incompleted work, five people entered: Sheriff Henry Peters, County Attorney George Henderson, Mr. Hale, Mrs. Hale, and Mrs. Peters, the sheriff's wife. All were much bundled up, and the men went at once to the stove. The women entered slowly and stood close together by the door. The county attorney looked at them while he warmed his hands.
Oh, this feels good. Come up to the fire, Mrs. Peters.
I'm not cold.
The sheriff unbuttoned his overcoat and stepped away from the stove, as if to mark the beginning of official business, then began.
Now, Mr. Hale, before we move things about, you explain to Mr. Henderson just what you saw when you came here yesterday morning.
Before Mr. Hale could answer, the county attorney chimed in.
By the way, has anything been moved? Are things just as you left them yesterday?
It's just the same. When it dropped below zero last night, I thought I'd better send Frank out this morning to make a fire for us. No use getting pneumonia with a big case on. But I told him not to touch anything except the stove. And you know Frank.
Somebody should have been left here yesterday.
Oh, yesterday. When I had to send Frank to Morris Center for that man who went crazy, I want you to know I had my hands full yesterday. I knew you could get back from Omaha by today, and as long as I went over everything here myself...
Well, Mr. Hale, tell us just what happened when you came here yesterday morning.
Mr. Hale took a deep breath and began.
Harry and I had started to town with a load of potatoes. We came along the road from my place, and as I got here I said, I'm going to see if I can't get John Wright to go in with me on a party telephone. I spoke to Wright about it once before and he put me off, saying folks talked too much anyway, and all he asked was peace and quiet. I guess you know about how much he talked himself. But I thought maybe if I went to the house and talked about it before his wife, though I said to Harry that I didn't know as what his wife wanted made much difference to John.
Let's talk about that later, Mr. Hale. I do want to talk about that, but tell now just what happened when you got to the house.
I didn't hear or see anything. I knocked at the door, and still it was all quiet inside. I thought they must be up. It was past 8 o'clock. So I knocked again, and I thought I heard somebody say, come in. I wasn't sure. I'm not sure yet, but I opened the door. This door. And there, in that rocker, sat Mrs. Wright.
There was silence for a moment while everyone looked at the rocking chair in question.
What was she doing?
She was rocking back and forth. She had her apron in her hand and was kind of pleating it.
And how did she look?
Well, she looked queer.
How do you mean, queer?
Well, as if she didn't know what she was going to do next, and kind of done up.
How did she seem to feel about your coming?
Why, I don't think she minded. She didn't pay much attention. I said, how you do, Mrs. Wright? It's cold, ain't it? And she said, is it? And went on kind of pleating at her apron. Well, I was surprised. She didn't ask me to come up to the stove or to sit down, but just sat there, not even looking at me. So I said, I want to see John. And then she laughed. I guess you would call it a laugh. I thought of Harry and the team outside, so I said a little sharp, can't I see John? No, she says, kind of dull-like. Ain't he home? Says I. Yes, says she, he's home. Then why can't I see him? I asked, out of patience. "'Cause he's dead,' says she. "'Dead,' says I. "'She just nodded her head, "'not getting a bit excited, "'but rocking back and forth. "'Why, where is he?' says I, "'not knowing what to say. She just pointed upstairs. I got up with the idea of going up there. I walked from there to here. Then I says, what did he die of? He died of a rope round his neck, says she. And just went on pleatin' at her apron. Well, I went out and called Harry. I thought I might need help. We went upstairs and there he was, lying.
I think I'd rather have you go into that upstairs, where you can point it all out. Just go on now with the rest of the story.
Well, my first thought was to get that rope off. It looked...
Here Mr. Hale paused, his face contorting in distaste.
But Harry, he went up to him and he said, no, he's dead all right, and we'd better not touch anything. So we went back downstairs. She was still sitting in that same way. Has anybody been notified, I asked. No, says she, unconcerned. Who did this, Mrs. Wright, said Harry. He said it businesslike, and she stopped pleating at her apron. I don't know, she says. You don't know, says Harry. No, says she. Weren't you sleeping in the bed with him, says Harry. Yes, but I was on the inside, says she. Somebody slipped a rope round his neck and strangled him, and you didn't wake up, says Harry. I didn't wake up, she said after him. We must have looked as if we didn't see how that could be. But after a minute, she said, I sleep sound. Harry was going to ask her more questions, but I said maybe we ought to let her tell her story first to the coroner or the sheriff. So Harry went fast as he could to Rivers Place, where there's a telephone.
And what did Mrs. Wright do when she knew that you had gone for the coroner?
She moved from that chair to this one over here, and just sat there with her hands held together and looking down. I got a feeling that I ought to make some conversation, so I said I had come in to see if John wanted to put in a telephone, and at that she started to laugh. And then she stopped and looked at me. Scared, I don't know, maybe it wasn't scared. I wouldn't like to say it was. Soon Harry got back, and then Dr. Lloyd came, and you, Mr. Peters. And so I guess that's all I know that you don't.
I guess we'll go upstairs first, and then out to the barn and around there.
The attorney looked around the room. Then he added to the sheriff,
you're convinced that there was nothing important here? Nothing that would point to any motive?
Nothing here but kitchen things.
The attorney again looked around the kitchen and opened one of the doors of a cupboard closet. He pulled a chair over, climbed onto its seat, and reached in, placing his hand on a high shelf. He quickly yanked his hand back in disgust. It was sticky.
Ugh, here's a nice mess.
The women moved closer, looking at his hand.
Oh, her fruit, it did freeze. She worried about that when it turned so cold. She said the fire'd go out and her jars would break.
Well, can you beat that? Held for murder and worrying about her preserves.
The attorney looked gravely at the women and said,
I guess before we're through, she may have something more serious than fruit to worry about.
Well, women are used to worrying over trifles.
And yet, for all their worries, what would we do without ladies?
The women did not smile or give any indication of unbending. The attorney went to the sink, took a dipper full of water from the pail, and poured it into a basin to wash his hands. He started to wipe them on the roller towel, then turned it, looking for a cleaner place. With consternation, he kicked his foot against the pans under the sink.
Dirty towels! Not much of a housekeeper, would you say, Mrs. Hale?
There's a great deal of work to be done on a farm.
At this, the attorney gave a little bow and pulled on the towel again to display it.
To be sure. And yet I know there are some Dixon County farmhouses which do not have such roller towels.
Those towels get dirty awful quick. Men's hands aren't always as clean as they might be.
Ah, loyal to your sex, I see. But you and Mrs. Wright were neighbors, so I suppose you were friends, too?
Mrs. Hale shook her head no.
Not been in this house in... it's more than a year.
And why was that? You didn't like her?
I liked her well enough. Farmers' wives have their hands full, Mr. Henderson, and then...
Yes?
It never seemed a cheerful place.
No, it's not cheerful. I shouldn't say she had the homemaking instinct.
Well, I don't know as Mr. Wright had either.
You mean that they didn't get on very well?
No, I don't mean anything by it. I don't think a place be any cheerfuller with John Wright's being in it.
I'd like to talk more of that a little later. I want to get the lay of things upstairs now.
The county attorney moved towards the stairs, poised to head to the second floor when the sheriff said,
I suppose anything Mrs. Peters does will be all right. She was to get some clothes from Mrs. Wright, you know, and a few little things. We left in such a hurry yesterday.
Yes, but I would like to see what you take, Mrs. Peters, and keep an eye out for anything that might be of use to us.
Yes, Mr. Henderson.
The women stood in the kitchen, listening to the men's footsteps on the stairs.
I'd hate to have men coming into my kitchen snooping around and criticizing.
Mrs. Hale began to neaten the pens that the attorney had shoved out of place in his fit of pique.
Of course it's no more than their duty.
Duty's all right, but I guess that deputy sheriff that came out here to make the fire might have dirtied the towel. Seems mean to talk about her for not having things slicked up when she had to come away in such a hurry.
Mrs. Peters had gone to the small table in the corner of the room and lifted the towel, revealing a pan with a loaf of bread still sitting in it.
She had bread made.
Mrs. Hale's eyes were fixed on another loaf of bread by the bread box on the other side of the room. She moved slowly towards it.
She was going to put this in there.
Mrs. Hale picked up the loaf of bread, but dropped it abruptly. She climbed on the chair to reach the high shelf.
It's a shame about her fruit. I wonder if it's all gone. I think there's some here that's all right, Mrs. Peters. Yes, here. This is cherries, too. I declare I believe that's the only jar left. She'll feel awful bad after all her hard work in the hot weather. I remember the afternoon I put up my cherries last summer.
Mrs. Hale put the jar on the kitchen table. She considered sitting in the rocking chair. She looked at it, pausing for a moment. When she realized what chair it was, she took a slow step back.
Well, I must get those things from the front room closet. You coming with me, Mrs. Hale? You could help me carry them.
The two women went into the other room and collected a number of items, then re-entered the kitchen. Mrs. Peters was carrying a dress and skirt, and Mrs. Hale a pair of shoes. Mrs. Peters hurried to the stove with a shiver.
My, it's cold in here.
Wright was close. I think maybe that's why she kept so much to herself. She didn't even belong to the ladies' aid. I suppose she felt she couldn't do her part. And then you don't enjoy things when you feel shabby. She used to wear pretty clothes and be lively when she was Minnie Foster, one of the town girls singing in the choir. But that was 30 years ago. This all you was to bring into her?
She said she wanted an apron. Funny thing to want, for there isn't much to get you dirty in jail, goodness knows. But I suppose just to make her feel more natural. She said they was in the top drawer in the cupboard. Yeah, here. And then her little shawl that always hung behind the door. Oh yes, here it is.
Mrs. Hale quickly shut the door leading upstairs and moved towards Mrs. Peters.
Mrs. Peters?
Yes, Mrs. Hale?
Do you think she did it?
Oh, I don't know.
Well, I don't think she did. Asking for an apron and her little shawl. Worrying about her fruit.
Mr. Peters says it looks bad for her. Mr. Henderson is awful sarcastic in his speech, and he'll make fun of her, saying she didn't wake up.
Well, I guess John Wright didn't wake when they was slipping that rope round his neck.
No, it's strange. It must have been done awful crafty and still. They say it was such a funny way to kill a man, rigging it up all like that.
That's just what Mr. Hale said. There was a gun in the house. He says that's what he can't understand.
Mr. Henderson said coming out that what was needed for the case was a motive. Something to show anger or sudden feeling.
Well, I don't see any signs of anger around here.
Mrs. Hale put her hand on the dish towel sitting on the table. She stood looking down at the table, one half of which was clean, the other half messy. She made a move as though to finish wiping the table. Then she stopped.
Wonder how they are finding things upstairs. I hope she had it a little more fixed up there. You know, it seems kind of sneaking, locking her up in town and then coming out here and trying to get her own house to turn against her.
But Mrs. Hale, the law is the law.
I suppose 'tis. Better loosen up your things, Miss Peters. You won't feel them when you go out.
Mrs. Peters slowly took off her fur shawl and hung it on a hook at the back of the room. She stood, looking at the small corner table. She picked up the sewing basket sitting on it and brought it over to Mrs. Hale.
She was piecing a quilt.
It's a log cabin pattern. Pretty, isn't it? I wonder if she was going to quilt it or just knot it.
They wonder if she was going to quilt it or just knot it.
Frank's fire didn't do much up there, did it? Well, let's go out to the barn and get that cleared up.
I don't know as there's anything so strange as taking up our time with little things while they're waiting for them to get the evidence. I don't see as it's anything to laugh about.
Of course, they've got awful important things on their minds.
The two women sat at the table examining the quilt patterns.
Miss Peters, look at this one. Here is the one she was working on. And look at the sewing. All the rest of it has been so nice and even. And look at this, it's all over the place. Well, it looks as if she didn't know what she was about.
They looked at each other, and then started to glance back at the door. After an instant, Mrs. Hale pulled at a knot and ripped out the stitches.
Oh, what are you doing, Mrs. Hale?
Just pulling out a stitch or two that's not sewed very good. Bad sewing always made me fidgety.
Oh, I don't think we ought to touch things.
I'll just finish up this end. Miss Peters?
Yes, Mrs. Hale?
What do you suppose she was so nervous about?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know if she was nervous. I sometimes sew awful queer when I get just tired. Well, I must get these things wrapped up. They may be through sooner than we think. I wonder where I can find a piece of paper and string.
In that cupboard, maybe.
Why, here's a birdcage. Did she have a bird, Mrs. Hale?
Well, I don't know whether she did or not. There was a man around last year selling canaries cheap. I don't know if she took one. Maybe she did. She used to sing real pretty herself.
Seems funny to think of a bird here. But she must have had one, or why would she have a cage? I wonder what happened to it.
I suppose maybe the cat got it.
No, she didn't have a cat. She's got that feeling some people have about cats, being afraid of them. My cat got it in her room and she was real upset and asked me to take it out.
My sister Bessie was like that. Queer, ain't it?
Why, look at this door. It's broke. One hinge is pulled apart.
Looks as if someone may have roughed with it.
Why, yes.
Mrs. Peters put the cage on the table.
I wish if they're going to find any evidence, they'd be about it. I don't like this place.
But I'm awful glad you came with me, Mrs. Hale. It would be lonesome for me sitting here alone.
Mrs. Hale dropped her sewing and looked slowly and sadly around the room.
It would, wouldn't it? I wish I had come over sometimes when she was here. I wish I had.
But of course you were awful busy, Mrs. Hale. Your house and your children.
I could have come. I stayed away because it weren't cheerful, and that's why I ought to come. I never liked this place. Maybe because it's down in a hollow and you don't see the road. I don't know what it is, but it's a lonesome place and always was. I wish I had come over to see Minnie Foster sometimes.
Mrs. Hale shook her head, suddenly ashamed.
Well, you mustn't reproach yourself, Mrs. Hale. Somehow we just don't see how it is with other folks until something comes up.
Not having children makes less work. But it makes a quiet house, and Mr. Wright out to work all day, and no company when he did come in. Did you know John Wright, Miss Peters?
Not to know him. I've seen him in town. They say he was a good man.
Yes, good. He didn't drink, and he kept his word as well as most, I guess, and paid his debts. But he was a hard man, Miss Peters. Just to pass the time of day with him, like a raw wind that gets to the bone.
Mrs. Hale shivered, and her eye fell on the birdcage.
I think she would have wanted a bird. But what do you suppose went with it?
I don't know, unless it got sick and died.
Mrs. Peters reached over and gently nudged the broken door of the cage open with her finger. Both women watched the door swing back and forth for a moment.
You weren't raised around here, were you? You didn't know her.
Not till they brought her yesterday.
Come to think of it, she was kind of like a bird herself. Real sweet and pretty, but kind of timid and fluttery. How she did change. Tell you what, Mrs. Peters, why don't you take the quilt in with you? It might take up her mind.
Why, I think that's a real nice idea, Mrs. Hale. There couldn't possibly be any objection to it, could there? Now just, what would I take? I wonder if her patches are in here and her things.
Mrs. Hale and Mrs. Peters started looking through the sewing box.
What a pretty box. Looks like something somebody would give you. Maybe her scissors are in here. Why, there's something wrapped up in this piece of silk.
Why, this isn't her scissors.
Oh, Miss Peters, it's...
It's the bird.
But Miss Peters, look at it. Its neck. Look at its neck. It's all other side, too.
Somebody... Oh, somebody wrung its neck.
Their eyes met with a look of growing comprehension and then a look of horror. When they heard footsteps approaching, Mrs. Hale slipped the box underneath pieces of quilt and sat back down. When the men entered the room, Mrs. Peters stood straight up.
Well, ladies, have you decided whether she was going to quilt it or knot it?
We think she was going to knot it.
Well, that's interesting, I'm sure.
The attorney noticed the birdcage on the table.
Has the bird flown?
We think the cat got it.
Is there a cat?
Mrs. Hale and Mrs. Peters shared a quick covert glance.
Well, not now. They're superstitious, you know. They leave.
No sign at all of anyone having come from the outside. Their own rope. Now let's go up again and go over it, piece by piece. It would have to have been someone who knew just the right way.
Mrs. Peters sank into her chair. The two women sat in silence, not looking at each other, but as if peering into something and at the same time holding back. After a pause, they began to speak cautiously, feeling their way over strange ground, almost afraid of what they were saying, but unable to help saying it.
She liked the bird. She was going to bury it in that pretty box.
When I was a girl, my kitten... There was a boy took a hatchet, and before my eyes, before I could get there, oh, if they hadn't held me back, I would have hurt him.
I wonder how it would seem never to have any children around. No, Rat wouldn't like the bird. The thing that sang, she used to sing. He killed that, too.
We don't know who killed the bird.
I knew John Rat.
It's an awful thing was done in the house that night, Mrs. Hale. Killing a man while he slept. Slipping a rope round his neck that choked the life out of him?
His neck choked the life out of him.
Mrs. Hale rested her hand gently on the birdcage.
We don't know who killed him. We don't know!
If there'd been years and years of nothing than a bird to sing to you, it would be awful still after the bird was still.
I know what stillness is. When we homesteaded in Dakota, and my first baby died... After he was 2 years old and me with no other than...
How soon do you suppose they'll be through looking for the evidence?
I know what stillness is. The law has got to punish crime, Mrs. Hale.
I wish you'd seen Minnie Foster when she wore a white dress with blue ribbons and stood up there in the choir and sang. Oh, I wish I'd come over here once in a while. That was a crime. That was a crime. Who's gonna punish that?
We mustn't take on...
I might have known she needed help. I know how things can be for women. I tell you, it's queer, Miss Peters. We live close together and we live far apart. We all go through the same things. It's all just a different kind of the same thing. If I was you, I wouldn't tell her the fruit was gone. Tell her it ain't. Tell her it's all right. Take this in to prove it to her. She may never know whether it was broke or not.
Mrs. Peters took the jar of preserves and nervously looked about for something to wrap it in. She took a petticoat from a pile and began winding it around the bottle.
My, it's a good thing the men couldn't hear us. Wouldn't they just laugh? Getting all stirred up over a thing like a dead canary. As if that could have anything to do with... Wouldn't they laugh?
Maybe they would, maybe they wouldn't.
No, Peters, it's all perfectly clear except a reason for doing it. But you know juries when it comes to women. If there was some definite thing, something to show, something to make a story about, a thing that would connect up with this strange way of doing it.
The women's eyes met for just an instant.
Well, I've got the team around. Pretty cold out there.
I'm going to stay here a while by myself. You can send Frank out for me, can't you? I want to go over everything. I'm not satisfied that we can't do better.
Do you want to see what Mrs. Peters is going to bring in?
The attorney walked over to the table. He picked up the apron, looking at the sewing box, and pawed through some of the quilting pieces.
Oh, I guess they're not very dangerous things the lady have picked out. No, Mrs. Peters doesn't need supervising. For that matter, a sheriff's wife is married to the law. Ever think of it that way, Mrs. Peters?
Not just that way.
Married to the law. I just want you to come in the other room here a minute, George. We ought to take a look at these windows.
Oh, windows.
Oh, we'll be right out, Mr. Hale.
With the men all gone for the moment, Mrs. Hale rose from her seat with her hands tight together. She looked intensely at Mrs. Peters. They both looked to where the box with the bird was concealed. Mrs. Peters tried to put the box in her bag, but it was too big. She opened the box to take the bird out, but could not bring herself to touch it. She cried helplessly, standing in the middle of the room. Mrs. Hale snatched the box from Mrs. Peters and quickly stuffed it in the pocket of her big coat.
Well, Henry, at least we found out that she was not going to quilt it. She was going to, what is it you call it, ladies?
We call it knot it, Mr. Henderson.
P-TAC's audio drama series is a production by the Phoenix Theater and Arts Company. This week's episode, Trifles, was written by Susan Glaspell, adapted and directed by Phil Pinot and Gina Stanton, and edited by Gina Stanton. This episode features the vocal talents of Amanda Booth as Mrs. Hale, David Nielsen as the county attorney, Jennifer Wallace as the narrator, Phil Pinot as Lewis Hale, Jenna Isabella as Mrs. Peters, and Ken Shelby as Sheriff Peters. Original P-TAC music by Brian Sanishin. For a full listing of credits, visit us at phoenixtheaterartsco.com. That's theater with an R-E. While you're there, please consider clicking the donate link. That would be delightful. Have comments or questions? Email us at phoenixtheaterartsco@gmail.com or find us on social media. A very special thank you to our Patreon subscribers, with a shout out to those sitting in the box seats, Ken Shelby, and our onstage seating, Margaret Thurston. We couldn't do this without you. Join us next time for Love is No Myth, Part 1.